Hello there. This episode may be kind of short. I've just been feeling a little bit unwell in general lately. But first off, let's talk about something about 15 people in the United States care about. Boxing. I'll try and keep this short. Yes, last weekend it was the classic tale of an older, pretty good fighter against a younger champion. And we all know how this generally goes, right? I don't have to explain it. But some boxers just don't know when to hang it up. Oh yeah, one other interesting detail. The fight was at super welterweight, 154-pound limit, and the veteran challenger was Keith Thurman. He's about 5 feet 9 inches, and that's being generous. The younger fighter is Sebastian Fundora, and he's just about, 6 foot 6. So it looked like a scene from Bruce Lee's last movie, Game of Death, where Bruce Lee is fighting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Game of Death from 1978 isn't even really a true Bruce Lee movie. They shot about 15 minutes of footage of Lee, and then he died, and they used like some weird shit, body doubles and footage from other Bruce Lee films. Game of Death sucks big time. But you got to see some of the fight footage in it with the actual Bruce Lee, where he's wearing that completely iconic yellow and black jumpsuit. I mean, that fucking jumpsuit is the best thing ever. So anyway, the height and reach difference between Thurman, the shorter guy, and Fundora, the taller guy, was comical. Thurman couldn't really get in close enough to do any damage on Fundora, and Fundora basically just slowly beat the hell out of Thurman. And of course, at the post-fight interview, Thurman, who'd looked like he'd been hit by a car, was saying some shit like, the ref shouldn't have stopped it, I could have found something or some shit. The only thing that would have helped Thurman in this fight is if he had a gun. He could have, like, shot Fundora in the knee or something. But do check out Fundora sometime. He's quite good, and the kid has some charisma. Keith Thurman's nickname is One Time, you know, because of, like, one-punch knockout powers or something. Well, Keith Thurman, your new nickname is, and admittedly it doesn't flow super well, but your new nickname is No More Times. That's it, okay? Bye-bye. Oh, another quick edition of Hell No. So you remember Amanda Knox, a.k.a. Foxy Noxy? She was convicted with her boyfriend for the killing of her roommate in Italy. The evidence was kind of murky. The case was later overturned. I saw she was trying out stand-up comedy, and I watched a small clip of her stand-up. And I have two words for her stand-up. Stand down. It's bad. She's not funny. It doesn't work. She already wrote a book and has a podcast. Leave the stand-up to the professionals, you know, like Carrot Top. Quickly, back to the Thurman fight. So I watched it while visiting my mom at her house. And maybe your mom does this or someone in your family does. But I sleep in the little side bedroom in her house. And this bed, when I arrive, always has the most ridiculous amount of pillows all over the bed whenever I arrive. I mean, this is some kind of like Stephen King shit. I mean, there's more pillows each time, like they're multiplying or something. The pillows take up half the bed. So I put all the pillows aside on the ground during my stay. And of course, being a weirdo, I only like the flattest pillow in existence. So I basically kind of fold a couple of shower towels in the pillowcase. So the pillow ends up ridiculously flat. But it works, what can I say? And no time on this episode for the opening song. Let's just move ahead, why don't we? Hey, quickly, I drove around town a bit with my man Buckley Saturday. We went to a small gallery in Hollywood. We swung by one of my favorite bookstores, Book Soup on Sunset. And as a bonus for Buckley, we swung by the pretty cool Tom Main-designed house in Santa Monica that was used as Al Pacino's home in the Michael Mann movie Heat. Heat is a solid film. It's a bit too long, takes itself a tad too seriously. But I do love some of Al Pacino's strange acting choices. At least once a week, or maybe every 2 weeks, I will say to Buckley the legendary Pacino line that he says to his wife, "I got 3 dead bodies on a sidewalk off Venice Boulevard, Justine. I'm sorry if the chicken is overcooked." Not my best Al Pacino, sorry. And this is why I love Los Angeles so much. We all heard about Mickey Rourke being evicted from his little house on Drexel Avenue in Los Angeles. It's kind of a piece of shit. I think he had like 60-something thousand in unpaid rent. They did a GoFundMe for him, but he reportedly refused the money. So anyway, me and Buckley stopped at the house, and still on the door was the eviction notice with Mickey Rourke's name on it. So I took a picture of it. I was going to take the damn notice, but then I figured that was maybe breaking some kind of law. I didn't want a repeat of the dumbest thing I've ever done, which is to take the Golden State Killer's garden hose from his house, drive off, start freaking out, and then drive back and return the garden hose. Now, briefly on Mickey Rourke, I mean, the guy has lived a life, and his face shows it. Partying, probably steroids, a whole lot of plastic surgery. But you know, I still have a sweet spot for Mickey Rourke. He seems like he could be a huge pain in the ass sometimes, but he also seems like he's got some character. I don't know. I could be wrong. Hey, have you ever seen 1989's Johnny Handsome with Mickey Rourke, Ellen Barkin, Morgan Freeman, Forrest Whitaker, Lance Henriksen? It's a kind of forgotten revenge noir directed by Walter Hill, who could be pretty damn good at times. Mickey Rourke is a disfigured criminal, a little reminiscent of Eric Stoltz in the film Mask. Mickey Rourke gets double-crossed and goes to jail. An experimental program, pardon the irony here, does a bunch of plastic surgery, and he's back looking like the 1989 Mickey Rourke, which basically is cool as shit. When he gets out of prison, he tries to remain straight, but the desire for revenge is strong. Do check it out sometime. You know what line always cracks me up, whether said seriously or in jest? Are you ready? How dare you, sir? I just love that. I try to use it here and there, especially when it's really not even warranted. All right, in current events. Hey, Tiger Woods, stop fucking driving. You're a billionaire. If you love to drive, make your own little personal driving area where you can run into shit to your heart's desire. I mean, the guy's body is pretty wrecked. He's taking Vicodin and who knows what else. If you want to destroy yourself, go ahead, but not around other people that you can injure or kill, you selfish fuck. And quickly, this is the second car Tiger Woods has rolled over. I mean, is he like one of the Dukes of Hazzard or some shit? Is it that easy to roll over a car? Anyway, Tiger, get some help and stay off the roads. Okay, a couple movies and that'll be it for now. Have you recently seen 1996's Executive Decision, directed by Stuart Baird, who's actually primarily an editor? But it's a well-directed, big, dumb, ridiculous action film with over-the-top heroes and villains, starring Kurt Russell as our reluctant hero. It's got Halle Berry, Joe Morton, David Suchet, a.k.a. Hercule Poirot, as our villain, along with a fantastically funny Oliver Platt. Like, in the right part, Oliver Platt is just so fucking good. It's also got Mr. Dum-Dum, Steven Seagal, but luckily he's really only in the beginning. Some terrorists take over a plane. They want their imprisoned leader released. So the U.S. military, like, somehow flies next to the hijacked plane, and our heroes kind of go up through a duct or some shit. Like I said, this is a ridiculous movie. There's a red herring or two, but it's just a completely satisfying big old action movie. It's got some clever dialogue, some good action, and shit, man, it's got Kurt Russell. What else do you need? And you know my love of Memento, so I was intrigued to see Redux from 2025. Michaela McManus, shit, that's hard to say, plays Irene, whose daughter was killed by some murderer, so she tracks him down and kills him. But she finds a way to travel through, like, parallel universes to see if she can find one universe where her daughter is still alive. Though generally, she can't find her daughter anywhere, and she's just been killing her daughter's murderer over and over again. Irene comes across another young girl in one of these universes, and they form a friendship. The movie isn't great, but I would say overall it's worth a watch if it sounds interesting to you. It has a nice little ending. The acting is decent, but again, your mileage may vary. Okay, friends, that's it for this week. Let's end with a quote from Mr. Hero's Journey himself, the mythologist Joseph Campbell. He said, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." So next time you come across a really scary-looking cave, just go right inside that fucking thing. You may find treasure, which also might find a monster. But hey, it's worth a shot.